WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capp, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhardt stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A winner's edition, baby, the Summit Racing Equipment Southern Nationals winner's edition, where we'll hear from the Mellow Yellow Series winners. Antron Brown going to join us on this show. We're going to hear from the Mellow Yellow champ, and he has agreed to answer questions from WFO Radio listeners. How about that? We invited you to call in your questions, call an email. We've got them stockpiled, and we're going to play them for Antron on this show. Also on this show, his DSR teammate, Johnny Gray, going to be on the show and talk about ramping up this funny car team for a championship run. Great day of racing out there in the ATL. Got quicker every run down the racetrack. We'll speak with Johnny on this show. Also on the show, Mike Edwards has been dominating the Pro Stock Eliminator, and he's back one more time after another race win. Mike Edwards overcomes a 001 reaction time by Shane Gray in the final round, put an end to the father-son double, but Mike Edwards has been very tough, and we'll speak with him on this show. We'll also hear from the editor of CompetitionPlus.com, Bobby Bennett, going to bring the heat regarding sportsman racing out there. But first, we start them all off the same way with the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be back. Great to be home after being hung up in Atlanta for an extra week.
I can imagine, but you've got to really know the community down there. And it looked like it was a packed house, even on a rain-delayed weekend.
You know, it wasn't bad. Those race fans down in Atlanta are pretty hardcore. And, you know, they've been supporting us for so many years out there. You know, keep in mind that all of the new super tracks that have popped up. But you know, Atlanta's been out there. Well, this was the 33rd year, I think. So it's definitely one of the more historical ones, and we've got a very solid fan following down in that part of the world. It's nice to have them all come back out to support us.
And my time there, while brief, was very cool. I checked it off my bucket list as a track that I've been to, and I thought it was very cool. The little commerce community there, kind of like I won't say a downtown, but there was definitely restaurants and hotels, literally walking distance from the track.
You know, the amazing thing is how much of that stuff has been built up since I've been going there anyway. I've been going through Atlanta, 22 years probably, and back in the day, there really wasn't much there, you know, a couple of gas stations, and that was it. But now with the outlet mall right down the street, and you mentioned a whole handful of restaurants there and more hotels right there in the neighborhood, makes it a pretty convenient place if you're staying there.
I recommend it to the racing fans out there. Definitely put it on your list. It was very, very cool. But hey, let's get into the racing, where DSR represents once again, doubling up in Top Fuel and Funny Car, Antron Brown winning in Top Fuel.
Yeah, I believe it's the 36th time that they have doubled. And, you know, the Top Fuel field was wide open. It was a really fun affair with no runs being made in the Nitro classes at all the previous weekend. They came back with a two-day rainout schedule, so everybody knew you got two shots to get qualified on Friday, and then you better be ready to race on Saturday. Antron coming out of the number two qualifying spot. It was a fun final session when it's like, okay, there's your new number one. Okay, there's your new number one. Okay, there's your new number one. That ended up with Sean Langdon on top, but Antron certainly had a very good car all weekend long.
And they go out there and get it done on Eliminations Day. And, of course, everyone trying to make it home on Mother's Day. I know there was a little sprinkle here and there, but you guys got it in. And great racing. I have to mention Brandon Bernstein. He pulls this unreal 376-1 out of the hat in the semifinals. And I would imagine just shocked the place with that ET.
It was definitely an attention getter. You know, there we had had a number of 70s that had been run before. It was kind of cool and overcast. The track was in great shape. You know, the safety safari after all the rain the previous week came back and got it all together. We ran all of the sportsman cars out on Friday with the threatening weather looming for Saturday. Graham Light and the guys made the decision that, you know what, we need to complete the sportsman. So many of them have already been here for a week. It'll give them an opportunity to have an extra day if they want to head back home for Mother's Day. Obviously, you know, some of them stayed around to watch the pros run. But, you know, he was worried about the fact that if we hold them over one more day and then it rains out and then we end up postponing, you know, if we had to, we could go to Kansas and run, you know, the Top Fuel final or the Funny Car final. But that's not going to work so well for the Top Dragster guys or for the Super Gas guys necessarily. So made what I think was a great decision. Finished up the sportsman guys on Saturday, on Friday night, so they had the extra day. And then when it did start raining a little bit on Saturday, it was just a matter of getting the pro show in. So that let the safety safari concentrate on prepping the racetracks strictly for the pro cars, which they did an excellent job of.
It looked like the track was great. Some great races throughout the day. Brittany Force getting through first round again, and she's getting more and more experience. The big matchup between Antron and Spencer in the second round with AB coming out on top. Just good battles across the board. But then in the final round, Bernstein lights the tires. Antron runs 3.80.1 at 3.21, and he is your overall winner.
You know, it was kind of interesting. Brandon, other than the first round, hadn't had lane choice all day long, and he had been in the left lane. Everybody with lane choice was taking the right lane. Not that it looked to me like there was a huge difference, but you know how it is. There's always one that's preferred. Well, Brandon ran that 3.76, which was low ET of the event, in the left lane when he lined up against Sean Langdon in the semis. And they went back up there, and Joe Barlam, and the guys that make the calls on that car decided to go back into the left lane. Of course, you know, with 20/20 hindsight, should we have changed, should we have not, who knows. But they had a great car all day long and just couldn't quite get it done in the final. Brandon also playing injured. He had pinched a nerve in his back and was really moving around pretty gingerly all weekend.
Yes, skimping around on the TV broadcast, but going to the final round is the best medicine. And I would say that team is really emerging. I know they had a great countdown last year, and putting up some big numbers and just about finding consistency. And when they do, look out.
The car's running well. There's no question about it. Both of the cars out of Morgan Lucas's camp are running pretty well right now, even though Morgan hasn't had a whole lot of Sunday results to show for it. But, you know, it was interesting. Speaking of those guys, Morgan qualifies in the number 16 spot and probably shouldn't have qualified. They had a car on the last run. They're going up there just, you know, trying to make a reasonably safe run, get it down there, get it in the show. And Morgan had a great, he said, I've never had so many things go wrong in the same run. It dropped a cylinder, then it spit a spark plug out, then it pressurized the crankcase, it spit out a valve cover gasket, put oil on the track. It finally ratcheted the belt off down at the other end, which hit a fuel line, broke it, and so there was a little flash fire. But when they got it back in the pits, it wasn't hurt at all. All the same pistons went back in it, the block was fine, the heads were fine. It just kind of a comedy of things that happened to put them in the number 16 spot. So, of course, that gets you a date with the number one qualifier in the first round. And the run that Morgan put on the board at 3.802 would have beaten 13 of the other cars in the first round, but it wouldn't beat Sean Langdon. So classic right place at the right time. They didn't have any results to show for it, but Morgan's car is running very good as well.
Wow, what a story. And it is about who you run. Very tough aspect of the sport. Moving over to Funny Car, where Matt Hagen was the number one qualifier and made it to the final round, but was taken down by his teammate Johnny Gray, who, looking at the times throughout the day, just got better and better and better, from a 13 to a 9 to an 8 to a 7 in the final round.
Well, Johnny had talked about in the press room the fact that after their D&Q out in Charlotte, I believe, they missed the 4 wide, they found something that they knew was going to be a performance advantage. But with some of the qualifying getting rained out the last couple of runs, the last couple of events, they hadn't had as many runs to experiment. And so Rob Wedlund said, you know what, we're going to go back to what we know. They backed way up and said, we're going to just start playing conservative, and then we'll just start inching away at it. And that's exactly what they did. They actually qualified in the bottom half of the field. But as you said, they, you know, throughout the course of the day, just a little tick here, a little tick there, and getting better and better and better until they finally beat their teammate. And, you know, the same two guys that doubled up in Gainesville, Antron and Johnny Gray, ended up getting it done again.
And Cruz and Wilkerson, the other side of the semifinals, and they had won the most previous race. So right there, perhaps the top four cars in the class right now. And you look at it and say, wow, no JFR car right there. You got the two DSR teammates, Johnny and Hagen. They've won races. You got Wilkerson, who's made back-to-back final rounds prior to this race and then a semi here. Cruz, who's won races. And at what point do we say, hey, where's JFR?
Well, they definitely didn't have a great weekend. In qualifying after the first session, they were in 1, 2, and 3. But the second session, they fell down back towards the middle of the field. And really, as far as the funny car contingent, and I'm not talking behind their back, they know as well as I do, they all should have been gone after the first round. You know, Robert Height lost to Johnny Gray in his opening round matchup. And you know, Courtney got beat by Del Worsham when her car smoked the tires. And the only reason John Force got by was because Chad Head double-stepped on the starting line when, you know, absolutely had, you know, had looked like the better car, had lane choice, went up there, staged the car, double-stepped it, and then John smokes the tires and ends up getting away with a seven-second run to win. So, yeah, the Force cars right now are definitely having a little bit of a tough time, but you know, we've seen in the past if they've got, you know, either something new that they're working on or some new combination or something that they're trying to perfect, now's the time to do it with the countdown format. If you can get that thing straightened out by the time, let's say by the time we head west in the next two or three races, then you can still sneak your way into the countdown. And as Robert Height proved in 09, if you get in the countdown, anything can happen. So I think those guys are playing with some stuff right now, and I think once they figure it out, it's all going to make sense. They'll look like geniuses if they get it figured out at the right time.
Absolutely, and you are not talking out of school. It's just part of the game, who's working on what, when. But come countdown time, everyone's going to bring their A game. Speaking of A game, Pro Stock, Mike Edwards, another number one qualifier, and runs low ET of eliminations in the final round. Shane Gray, amazing job driving, 008, 002, 001 in the final, but could not overcome the big ET by Mike Edwards.
Now, Mike Edwards had the best car, no question about it. Shane and his team have made giant strides ever since they teamed up with the guys at Elite. You know, they got a little bit better horsepower under the hood right now, and you know, obviously that's king in Pro Stock, even though Shane didn't really tip his hand in qualifying, but had a solid car on race day, and as you mentioned, was just driving unconscious. You know, Mike Edwards had a funny line at the end of the race. He said he went over and talked to Shane and said, man, what did you have for breakfast this morning? And Shane said, Wheaties. And he said, I told the guys, we're getting Wheaties. The rest of the year, that's what we're going to do is eat Wheaties. But now Shane was locked in. The car was running well. But you know, Mike Edwards, all year long, has had the best car. Five of six races, he's qualified number one. And if his Sunday consistency is starting to come around, and that really could be bad news for the rest of the field.
Maybe I should start eating Wheaties.
Well, there you go. Couldn't hurt.
Dump the Kashi health food.
So Mike also said something I thought was very interesting in the press room when he was talking about having to, you know, change all the hats because, you know, with Terry Adams and Tommy Lee, the guys that had helped him out over the last couple of years, not there anymore. He's got some new guys that he's kind of training, kind of a Tim Wilkerson deal. They're training some new guys, but he is, you know, he's the guy now that's building the transmissions. I think he's the guy that's putting the clutch in the car, and he's the guy that's doing a lot of the heavy lifting as well as getting in and driving it. And, you know, he made the point in the press room, said it on a couple of different occasions, that what he needs to do is he needs to learn, once he puts his helmet on, to put everything else aside and just drive. And I actually asked him, I said, you know, would you consider giving that hat to somebody else? And he said, absolutely. He said if he could find the right person, the right fit, and the right deal, that he would consider stepping out of the cockpit and just taking over as a crew chief. He asked me if I wanted to drive it in Topeka, but his fire pants, you know, they'd be up above my ankles, and I don't think that would pass tech.
Yeah, probably not. Where's the flood, right? But Mike, running well, and he will be on this show, folks. Now, Alan, we did receive a question. We invited people to call in questions for the world champion, the mellow yellow world champion, Antron Brown. But we got one for you, a question for you anyway, regarding Pro Stock and Elite engines. Are you up for it?
Sure.
All right, let's go out to the phone call. And, folks, if you got questions, 954-889-6796.
Hey, Joe, this is Jeff from Conroe. I've got a question about Elite Pro Stock engine. A month or so, or a few months back, we heard that Brogdon and Kent had bought all the Elite Pro Stock equipment and moved it down to Houston, where they were building their own engine shop. And prior to that, Elite had not done a whole bunch in Pro Stock in terms of getting up into the top half of the field. But now, last week in Atlanta, we see Shane Gray running Elite stuff, come through and do really good in the race. So I'm wondering if Alan can give us an idea of what's happened. Did Elite just sell their old equipment and buy new equipment? I assume there's a lot of personnel involved that are really, you know, the guys behind the machines. But I'm trying to figure out the value that Brogdon and Kent got by buying that equipment if Elite, you know, went right back into it and is now, you know, seemingly beating Brogdon and Kent at this Pro Stock Engine game. I'd be glad to hear your comments, and WFO, thanks.
Well, Roger Brogdon's team, even though they haven't shown a whole lot of on-track performance, from a power standpoint, they've been pretty strong. You've been watching Roger get out there and struggle more with the car than with the engine. So I don't think it'll be long. Once they get the car figured out, I think they're going to start posting some better times too. One thing that Elite Performance does and has done a lot over the years is they broker racing equipment. They buy and sell race cars and trailers and trucks and shop equipment and just all kinds of things like that. So when Roger and Steve bought all of the, basically the business assets and all the machines and stuff from Elite to start their stuff down in Houston, at about the same time, J&L was closing up shop, and there was a lot of equipment for sale there. I know that, you know, Johnny Gray has a fully equipped engine shop, and those guys are working together, and I'm not sure exactly as far as the equipment part where all that went, but there was a lot of top-notch, late-model, pro-stock engine-building equipment that came on the market all at kind of the same time. So when the Elite guys sold what they had, you know, they went out shopping again, and again, that's part of their business is just rolling over racing equipment, whether it's new stuff, used stuff. You know, if you go to their website, they've got everything from super stock and comp motors up to, you know, tractors and trailers that they buy and sell and trade. So they also had Nick Ferry come on board, who was part of that Jegs engine shop back in North Carolina. And even though those guys never really got the Hemi up to where they were expecting when he was running Dodges, Nick Ferry is one of the best Chevrolet guys out there. So, you know, it's all about putting the right people in the right place. And, you know, just like sometimes a team changes a coach, a guy can, you know, change hats, change shirts, and all of a sudden he looks like a genius again. But that's where the Elite power is coming from. There had been a lot of equipment on the market. They went out and just tooled up again, and then Nick Ferry coming on board to help out also was a big step for them.
Good question. Appreciate it. You can always email Joe at WFOradio.com or call them in 954-889-6796 anytime, day or night. Just like a voicemail, leave your name and your question. Just like that guy, he did it absolutely perfectly. Alan, great job. Let's talk Topeka. This will be my first time ever in Kansas.
Well, don't click your heels together and say there's no place like home a lot, because believe me, the people in Kansas have heard it all before.
You told me that. You said I wasn't even going to do a Kansas joke, and then you bust out with the Kansas joke.
Well, I'm not in Kansas yet.
Oh, I understand.
I will be tomorrow, though. I'm actually going in early to do the press conference out there. The Topeka is an amazing facility. You know, one thing about Kansas is there's plenty of wide open spaces out there. And if you're coming to Topeka for the first time as a fan, bring your comfortable shoes, because there is a lot of hiking around to go between the sportsman pits and the pro pits, and you know, some of the tracks that are pretty tightly landlocked. You know, Englishtown comes to mind. Everything is just right there, very compact and next to the track, and that's not the case in Topeka. It's a beautiful facility. It's, you know, pretty spread out, and it's fun. It's fun to go to Topeka. You know, all of the tracks have kind of a different personality and different the different atmosphere. One thing about Topeka is you can't go anywhere without somebody saying, are you here for the races? What do you do? Are you one of the teams, with one of the deals? What do you do? Because when the race comes into town, it is such a huge event. The community gets so involved. You know, when we're racing in Los Angeles, there's 100 other things going on there. When we're racing in Englishtown, you know, how much stuff is going on in New York City and the tri-state area? But when we go to Topeka, we're kind of like the event. It's almost like the county fair coming in. The governor has come out a number of times. The mayor of Topeka is almost always at the racetrack. And it just really is, the community in Topeka gets behind the races like almost no other on the tour. So it's a fun event to go to. It's, you know, a little bit of a drive from Kansas City once you fly in. But good facility and great fans in that part of the world.
I cannot wait, and I hear some great steaks too.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely some good steakhouses in that part of the world.
Well, very much looking forward to it. Alan, any final thoughts regarding the Lucas Oil Series down there in the ATL?
Well, the one thing I wanted to do was kind of give a tip of the cap to Jeff Strickland. He's a longtime Lucas Oil competitor and had a whale of a weekend. He's got an SS396 Nova that he just recently put a 4-speed in. You know, when he pulled it out last weekend, a bunch of eyebrows went up and went, wait a minute, B-stick? Really? And he ended up coming inches from a double-up. He won with that 4-speed big block stocker with a perfect light in the final, and then went to the final in top dragster where he came up just a little bit short. But that's a pretty good weekend. Anytime you make two finals, and even if you only win one of them, You know, you're always disappointed about the one you lose, but Strick had a pretty good old weekend out there.
Wow, I see Troy Williams Jr. won Super Street, and Ray Miller III won Top Dragster. A lot of Florida racers doing well up there in ATL.
Well, Jeff Barker in his Top Sportsman car, I mean, he's one of the big-time hitters down in that part of the country. And yeah, it was kind of like an all-star show. Dave Latino picked up his first ever in Super Stock, and he's part of that Cajun contingent from down in Louisiana. So, and Edmund Richardson's kid actually made it all the way to the final in Super Stock. And you talk about the way that Shane Gray was driving. Ryan Richardson was driving very well, too. He just ended up in the final with what's known in the business as an unwinnable heads-up. They're both D-automatic cars, and Latino's was just considerably faster, so Richardson didn't have much of a shot at it. But definitely, you know, he definitely got the driving gene from his dad. You could tell that throughout the course of the day.
These kids, they're like robots. They're like 2.0 versions of all of us.
Well, you know, I think a lot of, you know, growing up doing the video gaming and doing the stuff certainly sharpens your hand-eye coordination and your reaction times, and, you know, that there's probably something to be said for that.
Absolutely.
Maybe we should get, you know, some of the old guys. Can you picture, you know, like Mike Edwards or Warren Johnson with an Xbox?
Yes, if they would do it. They're very fun. There's a lot of fun to be had on these things, but a lot of time to be lost. Like the Greek told me years ago, is get away from the TV, and that's the secret to long life. So maybe it would be a bad idea.
Give it a shot. Why not?
There you go. Alan, great job as usual. I will see you in a few days. Topeka, Kansas, next race on the Mellow Yellow Series Tour. I cannot wait.
Travel safe, and I will see you in a couple days.
Thanks, Alan. The NHRA's Alan Reinhardt joins us each week right here on WFO Radio Nitro. And how about that? We recap the Summit Racing Equipment Southern Nationals, and now we're going to hear from the winners. And Mellow Yellow champion Antron Brown is going to take your questions. We've got a stack of emails, we got some phone calls, and I know some people out there are shy. They want to hear how it works. But in the future, we're going to be inviting your calls for the drivers. 954-889-6796. You can get the call information on our website, WFOradio.com. And we're trying to bring you closer together with the winners here on WFO Radio. We mentioned it. I will be in Topeka this weekend. So if you're a Kansas listener out there, be sure to come on out to the track and say hello, shout WFO, whatever the deal is. I'm really excited to get out there and meet some hardcore NHRA Mellow Yellow drag racing fans. Coming up on the show, we're going to hear from Mike Edwards, going to talk about his big pro stock win and what they are doing to get that car so dominant right now. Johnny Gray going to be on the show. We're going to speak with Johnny about coming so close to doubling up, father-son double up, and just being very, very strong. Rob Wendlin and the crew got this thing going really, really strong right now. Antron Brown going to take your calls, and then at the tail end of the show, Bobby Bennett from Competition Plus, the editor, going to bring the heat talking about Sportsman Racing. Stick around right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals. Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20 or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThunderValleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
They couldn't make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Videos. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now. Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, the Summit Racing Equipment NHRA Southern Nationals Winners Edition, and that's what we do here on WFO. We talk to the winners after they win, and sometimes they agree to answer your questions. That's right, and joining us now, the Top Fuel winner in the ATL, the reigning world champion, Antron Brown. AB, welcome back.
Yo, it's always good to be back, my friend. It's been a little bit, man. So it just feels good to get back on, man. And Atlanta, man, that place always treats us right. And I'm just so proud of all my guys, man, on our Mac O'Toole squad. Man, they just did a heck of a job. The way the conditions changed and holding out for the rain. And they really had all their stuff together, man. And I'm just very blessed to be a part of that group of guys, man.
I was very surprised. I was there a couple of weeks ago for the rain and didn't come back, but everybody else did. The stands looked pretty crowded, all things considered, that it was a rescheduled event. It looked like you had a great crowd out there.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Especially, and even on a Friday when we had Friday qualifying, like, you know, usually you go back to a rain event and it's kind of a ghost town, you know, but at Atlanta, it wasn't, brother. The people came out, and that's just saying something about our NHRA Melio Drag Racing Series, where everybody just dug in. I mean, the action's been there week in and week out in every class, from pro stock car to funny car, pro stock motorcycle to our Top Fuel class. I mean, it's just been intense out there, the competition this year, and you could tell by the crowds that we have.
All right, let's get into it, talk about the race, and then we'll get to the questions from the listeners out there. And, folks, every once in a while on the WFO Radio app, we'll put out the call to ask questions or submit your questions, 954-889-6796, when one of the drivers is up for answering them, and AB was down for the task. And so we're going to play and read some of your questions for him. But, Antron, you were number two qualifier, stormed through the field, taking out Pat Dakin in the first round. Second round, you got to go toe-to-toe with Spencer. You're able to get by him. Then Doug Coletta, who was putting up some big numbers, you're able to get by Doug. But then the final round against Brandon Bernstein, who laid down a 3.76.1 in the semis, that had to have you and your crew thinking about that final round.
It did, Joe. I mean, that was a remarkable number, but, when Brandon went up against Sean in the semis, I mean, they went up there, and, Sean's been running, he was running 70s all day long. So they knew that they had their work cut out for them. And let me tell you something, bro, them boys put their heads down, they threw that shot out there, it had everybody with their mouth dropped on the ground when that 76 of the one came up. We're like, wow. You know, I mean, that was an incredible, incredible pass, and we knew we were about to race against them in the final, and then we're gearing up. We ran a 78 in a semi, so we weren't too far off. So we were, Brian and Mark and Brad and the rest of our Macco boys, and they dug back there. I saw our clutch guy Mike come up, and Brian, and then we're talking their little stuff up in the lounge, him and Mark and Brian and Mike, and they're like, all right, what are we going to do? We're going to do this, do that. And we had our car planned to run a mid-70 because we knew that's what was going to take the win. But then as we were rolling up to the staging lanes, the sun came out, and the track temperature went up instantly like almost 6-7 degrees, where the runs that we were running before wasn't going to be the deal. And they were like, hey, we don't want to shoot ourselves in the foot. And they were talking about that strategy and everything else. And he said, let's go out here and just try to maybe duplicate our run or run somewhere close to it. And we went out there, and the car ran at 80 with a 1. I mean, probably try to run like a 78 again or 79, but sometimes the track steals a little bit from you. And that's what it did to us, but our car stayed stuck. And it just felt really good just to bring that win home, man. And we knew we had our work cut out with us against Brandon.
Oh, he was definitely hungry. Now, did you feel bad at all? And I know the answer, but Brandon having beat the Sarge at the finals to secure the championship for you, now you're running him in the final. It's like, sorry, Brandon, not today.
Well, the thing about it is, at the end of the day, Joe, I mean, we're all racers. We love to compete, okay? And Brandon, trust me, he wasn't out there racing Pomona to win the championship for me, okay? That's what a lot of people fail to realize. Brandon was out there racing to get that MAV TV Protect the Harvest car in the winner's circle. That's what he does every weekend, and he raced hard, and he's been close so many times and fell short, so he was overdue. And you could tell, I mean, Brandon's driving like he's starving. You could tell because he's cutting terrific light. The team is throwing down some incredible runs. And I mean, if you look at the countdown last year, he won more rounds than anybody last year in the countdown. Brandon did. Me and him were neck and neck for rounds last year. I think he won one more round than I did, or two more rounds than I did in the countdown last year, if you just count the countdown wins. And we won two races and went to the final. So that tells you how much winning he was doing last year. He won one race, but he went to numerous finals and numerous semis to get those rounds. I mean, that team is no joke. So when you look at that, I always look at Brandon as a tough competitor. And, I mean, the apple don't fall far from the tree. I mean, look at his dad. His dad's a multi-time world champ, Funny Car and Top Fuel. So Brandon's out there to win. And when I'm out there to win. We don't do each other's favors. We do a favor by giving each other some swift competition. That's what we do.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, you were the feature on a new Mellow Yellow commercial, which has made the rounds on the internet. And watching the broadcast, it's like, hey, this is new. Antron is featured, obviously, Top Fuel World Champ, in a Mellow Yellow commercial. We haven't seen that in a while. I think this is just part of the ramping up of Mellow Yellow. How cool was that to be part of a feature commercial featuring the title sponsor?
Man, Joe, let me tell you something, brother. That was just a true blessing. And just to see how, you know, the Coke family has come into our sport and elevated it, you know, from Powerade to Full Throttle now to Mellow Yellow. I mean, they're just big. There's more bigger, brighter things to come. And it feels good because, you know, drag racing is mainstream. So with that and being a part of it, I mean, I'm just tickled to death, brother. That was definitely a pleasant surprise, and it was the coolest deal to shoot that commercial. We shot that commercial in Gainesville, so that was pretty cool for it to come out like that. You know, I think we need to do commercials more often. Like, when we shot the commercial in Gainesville, we won the race, and then the first time the commercial aired in Atlanta, we won the race. I think we need to start doing some more stuff with commercials.
I agree, but hey, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. And absolutely, it was good, and I think it's a great way to get the sport out there. I just hope they run it on things other than NHRA, because the people watching, we'll handle that. We need to get it out there to some of the people who have never seen the sport.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's the whole deal behind doing it. Also, too, is where it could play at some other events that Coke's involved and Mellow Yellow's involved in, and we can actually share the love, and as a way to help grow our sport, to make it grow. So it's definitely much needed, and we're always growing in every step in the right direction. So it's been definitely going that way. So I'm just real happy about it, and I think it will.
I agree. All right, we've got the reigning Mellow Yellow Top Fuel World Champion Antron Brown with us following his Summit Racing Equipment Southern Nationals victory. He has agreed to answer questions from the WFO radio audience. I don't know why, but he has. And so you ready for the questions, AB?
Absolutely.
All right, first one coming from Jay.
Good evening, Joe. Good evening, champ. This is Jay from the LBC, Long Beach, California. Listen, I wanted to ask the champ, this year in Top Fuel has just been so darn competitive, as more so I think in years past, but DSR has just been so awfully strong this first half, these first few races. Talked about stepping up your game. DSR has definitely stepped up their game so far this season. Still got to keep on doing it, and best of luck the rest of this season, champ. See you in P-Town come November. Take care. Have a good one.
What about that, Antron? Have you guys stepped up your game for 2013?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you have to step up every year. I mean, we look at all the competition out there from Coletta, Morgan Lucas Racing, Alan Nobby, Bob Vanger's team. They got three cars this year with Clay and JR added on to it. The competition is just at an all-time high. And you got Steve Tarns out there. I mean, there's so many great teams that can win week in and week in out. You have to come there with your A game. So in the off season, we just work and we see where our shortfalls were during the year. And then our crew chiefs collaborate on new technological advances that we need to have on our car. And, they work on it. And then we collaborate and then we formulate some different things that we want to come out new for the next year. And that's what we work on. And then from our funny cars to our top fuel cars, we grow. And you have to grow. If you stay stagnant, they just pass you right by. And you can see that now with all the classes and the way the rules have been. The rules have been the same for the last 4 or 5 years. So everybody's able to massage your stuff, and it's getting better and better. And we're definitely at DSR. We work hard on stepping our game up each and every year. And I know Brian and Mark and all of our guys in our car, They do that week in and week out, where we're just trying to innovate and bring new things to the table to make our stuff better, and not just faster, but safer also.
Absolutely, and you can keep those questions coming, folks. Joe@WFOradio.com. Here's one that came in via email from Mike in Texas. Mike wants to know, Antron, you tweeted a picture titled Honeydew List. What were you building? Says Mike in Texas.
Oh, man, let me tell you something. You know, Mother's Day, you know, we went back to Atlanta, and I got back home on Mother's Day, and I had a couple honeydew lists, and I got to do some stuff for my mom, too. I got actually on the way to hang up some curtain rods for my mom now, and then my wife, we have like a little side pit on the side of her house, and I was building a fire pit. I took her old little cast iron pot out, and I had to, you know, I had to use some concrete retaining wall blocks, and I made a fire pit for my wife, where I dug it down and actually re-edged and redid our landscaping, where it's got a nice smooth arc in it now instead of being all jaggedy like the way we bought the house. So I was out there restructuring and making things nicer and neater, and I didn't know my wife was taking pictures putting it on Facebook. So that's where he got that from, Joe. And I mean, I just don't want a lot of people to know that I can actually do those types of things. So when they know, then they ask. And I don't want to have to be doing no more manual labor. The only manual labor I like to do is mixing fuel and working on a race car.
There you
got
go.
Got that?
What about the feeling of accomplishment, though? Like in all the commercials, Antron, you're there looking at it. You did that. You used your hands. What about that?
Hey, well, you know, that's just, you know, I love working on mechanical things. You know, you got to remember one thing. I grew up around my family. I had an excavating business, a septic tank business. And I grew up with a shovel in my hand digging. Moving rocks, stones, using picks, getting down to the lids of the tanks or digging trenches and laying PVC pipe, laying 3/4 inch gravel, and then covering it up. And I did all that stuff as a kid, okay? So I like to leave the shovel in the garage, and I like to work with the hand tool. That's where I'm at home at. That's what I enjoy. I do not enjoy shoveling. I did it as a kid all the way to my teenage years, trust me. I can leave that alone, Joe.
All right. And I know you as the son of a concrete business person. I've been there with the shovel and the pick myself. It is not a hobby. It is not fun.
No, no, it's not. No, it's hard work. That's why I laugh all the time where people go, I'm in the back of the pit signing autographs out there, and I could be out there all day. And they go, hey, B, is your hand about to fall off? You must get tired signing autographs. I said, no, I don't. I said, you put a shovel in my hand will get real tired.
All right, next one from Rich in Rhode Island. Antron, I think your championship was a great NHRA moment, but I'd like to know about away from the track. Which sports teams do you root for? And then he has NFL, NBA, MLB, hockey with question marks. Says Rich in Rhode Island.
All right, well, let's start off with, I am from New Jersey, and I grew up as a Phillies fan. So
South Jersey. So you must be a South Jersey guy then. South Jersey roots for Philly teams.
I'm Chesterfield, right near Trent, right across from Philly. And I grew up, like, hockey team is the Flyers. That's easy. Baseball team is the Phillies. Basketball team, I have a cross tie between the 76ers and the Heat, because I always was a big Heat fan because I lived in Florida for 3 years, and I was actually a Heat fan before the Heat had LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Shaq came there back there in the Lonzo Mourning era with Tim Hardaway with his crossover. I used to sit down in the VIP section, and my real good friend down there, Jay, he's the head trainer for the Heat, so I always root for them, man. I got a lot of love for him down there. And then for football, I'm an Eagles fan.
Wow.
I'm a Philly Eagles fan. So that's in a nutshell, man. I'm a hometown boy, and I stay true to the colors, you know, and that's where it's from.
You know, Philly fans don't have the best reputation, Antron. You guys boo Santa Claus. Santa. Like Santa. Who boos Santa Claus, Antron?
Huh?
Who boos Santa Claus?
The Philly fans, Big Daddy. Philly fans. Philly fans. But it's all good. It's all good. Because you know why? Is that Philly gives all their teams tough love. Even though they're booing them, they really love them. And they still wear those colors true. It's that tough brotherly love, brother.
I like it. No, I agree. And let's see. The Sixers, Dr. J, Charles Barkley, of course. I am a Heat fan. I don't know how many people out there are going to like us after saying that, because the Heat are definitely polarizing. But I love them, and I think LeBron and Wade and all those guys way back in the day, the Heat is such a great franchise. You know, Flyers, Eagles, what are you going to do? But, hey, you know, let me point out that the Yankees beat the Phillies in the World Series a couple years ago, just reminding you.
Hey, it's all good, Joe, but you gotta stay true. But the Phillies do have a World Series title too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, great organizations. And Philadelphia, great city. But yeah, South Jersey guy. All right, next question. This one coming from Glenn in Riverside. Other than winning, what is the best part of an NHRA race weekend? Good luck in Topeka, says Glenn.
I would say the best part of an NHRA weekend is honestly for me as a driver is just how all the fans can come up to the back and give you that love and support, and they're all there hitting you up, and you can see the different face expressions and how you can actually put a change and put a smile on somebody's face, because they could have a rough day, but that drag races, you could bring them in and walk them around, you could put a smile on your face. I think it's the fan interaction with our sport is the other great thing besides winning, because when we're winning, they're in the winner circle, but then when you lose, they're out in your pit, and they say, it's going to be all right. You're going to get them next week. You're going to get them next week. And when you hear people say that to you, it kind of motivates you and give that energy for you to drive.
Interesting. I bet. You know, there is something about the power of positive thinking, and when people are there pumping you up, it's got to work.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt.
All right, next one. This one coming in on the WFO phone line, 954-889-6796. You call, you leave your message, and, well, the world champion, Antron Brown, might answer it. This one coming from Craig.
Hey, guys, Craig from Seattle here. It's great to have Antron on here. Hey, Antron, my question for you is, I know Jegs every once in a while will run his pro stock car and run in the stock class and sportsman, and I was wondering if the opportunity ever came to you, would you consider running in pro stock like you used to and in top fuel? I know you're living your dream running top fuel right now, but do you miss pro stock bike? And would you do a double on a weekend if you had that opportunity? Thanks again for a great show, and Antron, keep up the good work. Talk to you later. Bye.
Would you do a double if the opportunity presented itself?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would do it, no doubt, but the problem is in the NHRA rule book, you're only allowed to run one pro class, so I'll have to run a sportsman class. So I would have to run something like pro mod or like super comp or something like that. You know what I mean? I couldn't race pro stock bike because it's considered a pro class. So I wouldn't be able to ever run pro stock bike and top fuel in the same weekend. But if they gave me the chance and opportunity, I think that would be a lot of fun to do something like that. It would be a lot of fun for sure.
Now, which of those classes, though, would you find yourself gravitating to? Something like stock eliminator or super stock or one of the super series classes? You already bikes and are off the list. You mentioned pro mod. Where would you want to dip your toe in the water if you were going to do something like that just for fun?
I mean, I wouldn't mind like comp eliminator or pro mod or even top dragster. That would be a lot of fun too, or even super comp.
Oh wow.
I mean, Joe, any of them. I love any of them. Super gas. I mean, I don't care. It could be super stock. I love them all, brother. I'll run them. I'll race them.
That would be great. I'll tell you what, for those guys who are running in those classes, it would bring needed extra exposure because they are making a huge investment in time and in money. They are the backbone of the sport in many ways, and it's not easy racing over there.
That is definitely the backbone of the sport because, let me tell you something, without those classes, I would never be out here in drag racing. I mean, I grew up around my dad and uncle who are sportsman racers still to this day. Like, once you're in that returning deck, you're in forever. And those guys, I mean, I grew up around it, racing super gas, super comp, and now my dad races top dragster, and my dad even used to race Beach Street Roaster. So I remember those days like it was yesterday. So it's a lot of fun, man. And that's what makes our sport of NHRA racing so special.
Have you ever raced against your dad?
No, I haven't, because they never let me race their cars. I only got to work on them. Because the jokers never want to get out the driving seat.
Now they're probably dodging you at this point. All right, final question for Antron Brown, the Mellow Yellow Top Fuel World Champion and most recent race winner. Antron, do you think your athletic training gives you an advantage over your less athletic competition, or does it not matter in drag racing? Congratulations on winning an ATL. WFO says John in SoCal.
No, they don't need, no, workout's just overrated. They don't really need to work out, you know. Really in a car for 3 seconds, Joe. I'm just joking.
I can tell, by the way. I can sense the sarcasm. You're trying to turn them off to the thing.
Think about it. You just don't like to give people your trade secret, you know. In any sport, no matter what you do, if you just look at Tiger Woods, where people didn't think golf was a very physical, demanding sport, Tiger Woods bought in the realm of conditioning and training and took golf to a whole new level. Now when you look at our fuel class racing now, look at Sean Langdon. He works out a lot. Morgan Lucas, he's got a personal trainer. Brandon Bernstein, he works at Pit Fit too. So I have a personal trainer that I work out with. And you can see the people who work out on how they excel in our sport when they're able to bring that same game week in and week out and do what they do. You get what I mean? And that's what it's all about at the end of the day. And I think absolutely gives me a little bit of advantage when you're working. Look at Bob Vandergrift. He works out really, really hard. And look how his game's been. He's cutting great lights. He's very consistent at what he does. And people know what they got to do now to go out here and win a race. It's no more just going out there, stepping on the gas and having a fast car. When you're racing 1,000 foot, you have to be great on every end to get a round win, let alone a race win, and to compete for a championship, you need everything. So it's definitely an added advantage, and it definitely helps you get the job done.
And healthy for life. So to recap the answer for the aspiring racers out there, yes, it helps. For the competition, lots of chocolate cake, lots of it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, and the final question going to be from me, since I am very curious about this. You know, the great ones, they always talk. Sometimes great ones are great on the field, but maybe they cannot coach. Antron, you're finding yourself in this situation with your son, Anson. taking to the eighth mile in a junior dragster. Tell me about that experience, and how are you taking it upon yourself to mold this young future NHRA driver?
I'm taking it slowly, Joe. I'm trying to take it one step at a time because his mind, you know, he's 8 years old. So it's like I want to take all my knowledge and try to just jam it in him in like 10 seconds, and you can't. You got to take your time, and that's one thing that I've learned. And I was a nervous wreck when I was watching him do all this stuff for the first time and running around the car like a crazy man. And it was hard, but he had it down, and he already knew what to do. He knew how to stage the car because he watched me sometimes. I said, "Yeah, so where you learn all that?" He goes, "Dad, I'm at the drag race with you all the time. You think I'm just playing? I'm seeing what's happening, what's going on." And I was just like, it just killed me just to hear him talk to me, because he had the knowledge and he's been learning by observing right now.
That is very cool. We saw the video. You posted the video of the eighth mile run, and that's got to be great to be able to go back and look at the video. But he was straight down Broadway. That was great.
Oh yeah, he did a great job, and very, very, very proud of him. And it's going to be a lot more fun times to come too. So we're going out this Wednesday. The weather's right, and we're going to break him in some more.
Very good. Now, quick thought about Topeka, Antron.
Well, Topeka has always been a special place to go out to and race. And when we go out this weekend, it's like where the greats. I mean, I love going down Gary Ornsby Drive, which is one of my heroes of the sport. And that holds something very special to me, man. And I've been wanting to win there so many, many years in a row. We qualified number one there, get to the semis, and we haven't got it done. So hopefully this year we can go there and just give it all we got and see if we can pull that deal out.
Well, I will be there this weekend. Very much looking forward to it. Checking out Topeka. I hear there's great stakes everywhere you go around the corner, not to mention great racing. Antron, congratulations on winning the Summit Racing Equipment Southern Nationals, and thank you so much for opening up to our WFO radio audience and answering their questions.
Anytime, Joe. It's always a pleasure being on, man. And I love talking to you after a race. That means we did something good.
Well, I will see you this weekend. Maybe we'll do it again next week.
All right. Sounds good.
Antron Brown with us here on WFO Radio, the Mellow Yellow Top Fuel World Champion, taking your questions here on WFO Radio. And that's just another benefit of the WFO Radio app. Push notifications to let you know when something cool is going on. You can download it in the App Store or Google Play for Android devices for free right now. Now, make sure to enable push notifications. That's big, because if something like Antron is cool with taking your questions happens, I'll put out the number, 954-889-6796. You can also Skype to Skype on WFO Radio, and you can get your question in or email them, joe@wforadio.com. But I think it's cooler when the drivers hear directly from you. Just another reason to get that WFO Radio app. And while you're there, make sure to leave a positive review. Like, hopefully you think it's positive. In fact, you can hear all the stars of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing here, and those positive reviews go a long way to making the app more exposed to the masses out there so people can find it, which is very, very cool. Thanks to Antron and the folks at Don Schumacher Racing for making that happen. Speaking of Don Schumacher Racing, congratulations to Megan Fessel Schumacher on her graduation. Every one of the drivers was in on that, and it is a big deal. She goes to school very close to where the WFO radio studios are located. From a national perspective, it's about 40 minutes away from our area. But congratulations, very big deal. And the future of Don Schumacher Racing is bright. Megan is a very sharp young lady. Coming up on the show, we're going to hear from CompetitionPlus.com editor Bobby Bennett. Going to bring the heat regarding Sportsman Racing. He's got an editorial out there called "It's Time for a Divorce." Stick around for that. We'll hear from Mike Edwards, the Southern Nationals Pro Stock winner. But when we come back, Johnny Gray. Going to talk about the funny car class. And speaking of funny cars, when I think of Frank Hawley, I think of funny cars. Must be the Chi-Town Hustler aspect of it. When Frank showed up on the scene, won back-to-back world championships, and we're very happy to have Frank Hawley's drag racing school on board with WFO Radio. Make sure to click that banner ad and check them out. If you've got a bucket list or you're looking for something cool to do, you're tired of hearing about driving a dragster and you want to do it, that is open to you at all times. And Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School is the best way to do it. You could be a bracket racer or a super series racer and just want to get better. There are tricks of the trade, mental aspects that you can learn at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Click the banner ad. Check them out. That's Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. We'll be back with Johnny Gray when we return right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals. Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20 or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at thundervalleytix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives like our popular water wetter for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Hey, this is Carlos, WFO radio producer. When you're done watching all the great videos, which I made, on the WFO Radio TV YouTube channel, head over to the WFOradio.com store for some really hot WFO radio gear. Like the WFO radio hat, which is now only $15. WFO New Era hats are on sale. Get a hat for your dad. Get a hat for your head. Or a sticker kit for your truck. WFO radio gear is on sale at WFOradio.com. Get some.
It ain't just wide open. It's WFO.
Jag, how's Troy been? World champion. How's it living with the world champ? And it's not you.
You know what? It's been electric. You know, I was so proud to watch he and his team, you know, close out the season the way they did. It was more or less a winner-take-all situation. The crowd was going nuts. You know, the PA was going nuts. The teams were kind of going nuts. And, I mean, I had goosebumps. My hair was standing up. I had a lump in my throat. I had tears coming out of my eyes. And just any emotion you can think of was happening. And when he took off in the final and that thing was going straight as a string as it did for every run at Vegas with their new car, was I couldn't have been more happy for he, his family, for everybody on the team. It was electric.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. Big welcome to all our new listeners out there. If you've got the WFO Radio app, well, you're in the right place, especially for Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. And joining us now, the funny car winner from the Summit Racing Equipment NHRA Southern Nationals, Johnny Gray. Johnny, welcome back to WFO.
Hey, appreciate it. It's good to be back on here. That means we're doing good, right?
That is the reputation we're trying to carve out, Johnny, and I'm glad you feel that way. You win, you come on the show, and we love hearing from you. Boy, what a performance. You guys getting quicker all day long. Looks like Rob Wendland and the guys got back on track.
Yeah, we did. We struggled there for a couple of races, and, you know, Rob and Rip got together, and you know, Ryan helps them a lot. And they sit down in there, and they said, look, we got to back this thing down, figure out where we're at, why we got over center, and where we're at, and first one thing or another. And, you know, we're not going to look too stellar in qualifying, but, you know, if we can figure out what's amiss here, maybe we can step it up for racing there and pick on it and have a pretty good car for the day. And I think that was probably the biggest understatement they've made, you know. Thing went out, went down that left lane, made a really nice run. What was it, a 13 in the first round? And I don't think anybody was hardly going down that the left lane there. I guess hardly anybody was going down it, and we were lucky enough to get down it, and you know, Robert was having a little problem over and helped us out, and so we got by that round, gave them some good information to look at, and they just kind of unleashed on the field from there. So it was a great day.
It really was, and I think a great illustration of the old racing adage that says sometimes you got to slow down to go fast.
Yeah, you know we all want to be the toughest kid on the block all the time, you know, when we're out playing with race cars, but sometimes you just got to back things down and get a good handle on where you're at and let the thing go, you know. And that's, boy, can't anybody say they didn't do an excellent job of doing that.
In the second round, you had to go up against your teammate Ron Capps, and when you keep it in the team, you always know you're going to get a tough run. In the final, you had to go up against Matt Hagan, so taking out two of your teammates en route to victory, not to mention Cruz Pedregon, who has been so strong this year, and what a side-by-side race that was. Your 408 to his 409.
Yeah, no, what can you say? Yeah, Cruz's car's been running really hard, but anytime we line up beside Tobler, he goes for the throat, you know. I mean, you know what? That's not really a real fair statement. 99.9% of the time, Tobler's going to go A to B, and he's going to step it up when he runs us. And you just got to step up and run hard against him. And sometimes you're ready to do that, and sometimes you aren't. But he's just really tough to outrun. And you know, Caps, he sure ain't gonna cut you no slack over. And then you got Cruz there, his car is really running stellar right now. And we got by him, and then you think, boy, I'm having a pretty good day, all except for the fact that I gotta run Dickie and Venables and Matt in the final, you know, and that sure ain't gonna be no cakewalk. So it was a great day, you know.
And at the end of days like this, I'm sure when you roll out of the racetrack, you have a feeling of accomplishment. There's no doubt you earned it, taking out some of the toughest customers in funny car racing.
Yeah, the guy, you know, my team earned that one. They gave me this, you know, such a stellar race car. I mean, it was so fast, so good, I couldn't even screw it up, you know. But there's just no way to say how good a job they really did from where we've been the last couple of races and from a DNQ to getting a few things figured out and then figuring out a few more things, and then all of a sudden we got the old hot rod back, and that thing is a blast to drive when it's being nice, you know.
Sitting third in the points, 73 out of the lead, but more importantly, a lot of padding back to 10th. 221 points is the current 10th place out of the lead. But as someone who's been on the edge of the countdown in the past, it's got to give you additional confidence knowing that you've started off the season very strong. And this being your final season chasing points, you definitely want to give it a ride for the championship.
Well, you know, that's everybody's dreams, to go out and win a championship. And shoot, I ain't going to tell you that I'm any different than anybody else, but that's a long ways off yet. But to try to, when you start out, you're like, I just need to be sure I make the countdown. Well, when your car's running as good as ours, and you go, okay, well, it looks like we could be in the top five here, you know, going into the countdown if we can just mind our manners, you know. And you kind of get excited about that, and then you go to a race, and all of a sudden you get hit right between the eyes by a fuel funny car, and it says, no, you know, you're getting too cocky, we ain't even going to let you qualify this weekend. So, you know, your car throws a fit, and you're sitting there going, what in the world went wrong, and how did we manage that, you know? And so then you get humbled pretty quick, and you start backing up and trying to figure out what went amiss, you know. But they're very humbling cars, you know. They're humbling to tune, and they're humbling to drive. You know, you can go from hero to zero in a heartbeat in that thing. But all in all, I mean, I've got the team that is definitely capable of carrying me to a championship if, you know, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise. Well, you know, we've got a shot at it here.
Now, what about the added element on race day of your son Shane going all the way to the final round? He has been running. That team has really turned around. I'm asking to take off your driver's hat and put on your owner's hat and the pro stock side of things. What has been going on behind the scenes there that team has just elevated recently, part one, part two, going through the course of race day, knowing that your kid is out there going rounds as well, has got to be very exciting.
It's a double-edged sword. I mean, I'm down there and I'm jumping out of my car going, you know, what pair is Shane? Can I get back here in time to watch him? You know, do I have to watch him here? And you know, I'm trying to get back there. And you know, Rob's going, I know you're excited about your son, but don't you think you need to pack your chutes and start your own car, you know? And you know, it's a double-edged sword, but that's one of the reasons that, just one of the few reasons that I'm actually going to give it up next year, is to try to push forward and see if there isn't some way we can get him a championship. And it was almost aggravating to have to get in my car where I couldn't watch the final, you know. But I did go get in it, and then when I heard him announcing that he had cut a 001 light in the final, and you know, I thought we had a chance there. But we actually had a little issue with the car and with the motor, and you know, it wounded it just a hair, and the thing didn't run what it should have run, or we'd have had a closer race. I'm not going to say we'd have won it, but we'd have had a closer race with his car, and you know, what an honor that would have been, to have been standing up on the stage beside him. You know, that'd have been great.
And there are still plenty of chances for it to happen, and the way he's driving, 008, 002, 001, the final three rounds going into the final, that tells me something about the package that you guys have. Shane as a driver, he's obviously good. He can put it out there when he needs to. You guys are finding the horsepower. The car looks like it's running real well. You're finding consistency. Looks like Shane is stepping up to be a player.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. I mean, the first year that we brought the kid in, you know, he ended up fourth. I mean, he proved he could drive the car then. But these things are really weird, you know. I mean, I was watching the golf tournament this weekend, and you know, golf is a very mental game. They tell me it's mental. When I try to play it, I think it's a very physical game. I physically can't do it. But you watch those golf pros, and if any little thing happens, you know, I mean, you can just fall apart, and it's not just that one swing. It works on you, mentally. But we've been really struggling with Shane's car, and he's been struggling with his driving mentally. And, you know, I kept telling him, hey, don't worry about it, buddy. When we get this car lined out, you're still the same driver. You'll be fine. You know, you'll get your act together, and you'll be as tough as anybody out there. And you know what? There you go.
And he was on it in a way that Sergio was not when he tin cupped it on 17.
Well,
my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, it just, but I've been on both sides of that. I have absolutely been on both sides of that. Any, I don't know if any of them will tell you, but to me, any driver that will admit it, if his car is not performing, he's not going to get up. He's just not going to get up on top of things and be the best he can be. And, you know, the better your car is, the better the driver is. It's just, I think that's the way it is, you know. There's a few drivers out there that'll be able to come after you and do a good job anyway, but, as a general rule, I'd say the better the car, the better the driver.
Certainly confidence, a big element. in any performance-oriented sport. Let's talk about Topeka this weekend, Kansas Nationals. This is a race-hungry city. Every time we go there, the fans seem to come out, represent, and give a little love to the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series.
Well, you know, we're going to Topeka with the full intentions of doubling up and see if we can't move ourselves up a little closer to the top of that food chain. And that's our full intentions. We talked about it before we left there. You know, there's no reason as good as this car is running and as good as crew as I've got that, foregoing any of this bad luck, we should be able to go out there and run hard again. That's the beauty of having a really, really good race car is as anybody will tell you that's been out here long enough, if your car's running really, really good, you have that added edge of the other guy making a mistake because he's the one that's got to try to chase you down. And, anytime you get in that situation, you get some freebies there that you probably shouldn't have won, but the other teams make mistakes trying to run as hard as you're running.
A little intimidation factor coming into play, and you definitely got that going. Your car is running real well, and I look forward to seeing you guys go out there for the remainder of the year and maybe even get that double up you're looking for. Johnny, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Appreciate it. It's been fun to watch so far, and I'm sure it will continue to be. Thank you for sharing this victory with us here on WFO Radio.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on WFO.
Johnny Gray with us here on WFO Radio, another DSR sweep of Top Fuel and Funny Car. And Johnny's going to be tough. That team, we said it at the start of the year, they're on a mission, so to speak. This is one and done. One final opportunity to win the title for these guys all together with Johnny driving. They got to get hot in the final six races. That's really what it's all about. Get hot in the final six races, which is doable. They've got a fast hot rod, and Johnny can get the job done driving. So it's going to be very interesting to see. And a big thanks to Johnny. And congratulations to Shane as well. He's got that hot rod running real well. He's driving well. They're going to break through. But can they do the father-son double up? I think that they can. Still a lot of races yet to go. Coming up on the show, we're going to hear from Bobby Bennett, editor of CompetitionPlus.com. Going to bring the heat a little bit. Plus, Mike Edwards is going to be joining us next. Want to remind you, the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals, Bristol Dragway. If you've never been to Bristol Dragway, Thunder Valley, it's definitely someplace you want to go for the drag racing track bucket list. It's awesome. It's beautiful. It's a Bruton Smith track, so you know the amenities are great. And they put on a great Father's Day event. And if you're going to do something with Dad, I can't think of anything better. Get on over there, check out the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals, and you can get your tickets right on the front page of WFOradio.com. Click that banner ad. It'll take you to the ticket office, and you will see some of the cool things they got going on at Bristol Dragway coming up this Father's Day weekend. Stick around. When we come back, Mike Edwards will join us right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races.
The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals, Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20, or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThundervalleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine, published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
W.F.O. Radio. NHRA Nitro. Nitro. W. F. O. Radio. Now, back to WFO Radio.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, following up the rain-delayed Summit Racing Equipment Southern Nationals. But what a race it was. And I want to say a quick hats off to the Atlanta GA crowd for filling the grandstands on the second week of the event. Absolutely massive, and great job by those NHRA fans out there. And time to talk about the Pro Stock class with our Pro Stock winner. He's becoming a frequent guest here on WFO Radio, Mike Edwards. Mike, welcome back.
Good to be back, Joe. Thanks.
Should we just start reserving this spot for you?
Well, it'd be very, very, very nice. I'd be all for it, but I think there's several teams out there that's got something to say about that, Joe.
I know that they are, and we'll get into it. In fact, some people doing some preparation between Atlanta and Kansas, but we're going to get into it. And one thing I think is cool about having the winners on is that we really get to know people when they become dominant, when you start really dominating a class. Now, I know you're going to back away from the word dominant, but another number one qualifier, and you storm on to victory. You really have this team running well at this moment.
Yeah, I do like the way our program is right now and the way we're running. And, we're making good runs, making, for the most part, good decisions, I like way it's going right now for us, Joe. We just got to maintain and keep running and keep working and trying to improve on what we're doing. And, hopefully we can pick it up some more, great win in Atlanta. Hats off to all those fans that came back there on Saturday. It was a tremendous race, and hats off to everybody there at NHRA, and the whole deal went off nice. So, it feels good, Joe, to win, and going to do some running out here today and tomorrow, and head up to Topeka probably Thursday morning.
Now, you're out at Tulsa, and you're doing some testing, and before the interview started, folks, I was goofing around with Mike saying, like, I know why the competition is there, but why are you there, Mike?
Well, we're trying to get better, Joe. You can't never stop what you're doing. You got to keep advancing, trying to get better, because these guys, they're all over it. They're running, they're testing, they're working, and they're trying to they're trying to do their best too to pick up, and like all of us, trying to run better. So we're out here trying to do the same that they're doing.
What's interesting to me, and I want to talk about your round by round, is that this Camaro that you unloaded this year has really, at least from outward appearance, has been quick from the very first runs. You had to do some adjusting to find consistency, but from an outsider's perspective, it looked like you found the consistency pretty quickly, and now the car seems to do what you want. Talk about this new Camaro and how what has the learning curve been like? Because it looks like you've really got yourself a nice piece there.
Yeah, I really can express how much the car has really just been phenomenal. New Jerry Haas car I picked up, you know, the first of the year, and it's just you know, we made several runs with it and bred it and tested, and you know, it did awful well, and we were a little bit surprised how well it did do, and then we've just been, you know, running it and keeping tweaking on a little bit and making some changes, and it's just responded so well. So I don't know if I've had a car like this in a long, long time. It's been that good right from the get-go, and just, you know, I just hope and pray I don't mess up, Joe.
Well, that's why we run the races, and we'll all be watching, that's for sure. Mike, can you take a second to explain as best as you can, and this seems kind of like the black voodoo science of Pro Stock, that no two chassis are exactly the same, and why that is? Because I've heard guys, you know, obviously the name Jerry Haas and all the pros out there who make chassis, but every once in a while, someone gets one that just works better for whatever reason. And that's not just true with chassis. I've heard it being true about carburetors, about cylinder heads, that according to all the mathematical measurements, they are supposed to be identical, and yet on the track, the real dyno test, they're not. How does that happen?
Well, I wish I could answer that question, but I cannot. But you're exactly right. Those things can be measured and be exact, and all the, I mean, the cars, I mean, Jerry makes all those cars, you know, they're on chassis jigs, they're on body jigs. I mean, they, you know, they make them all within, you know, they're just so close, but for some reason, it just seems like that, I don't know, you can get a car that just, for whatever reason, I can't explain it, but they work extremely well right from the get-go, and it seems like they get even better as more you run them. So, but, you know, I think the bottom line is, you know, it's the equipment that people have, and it's the people working on it makes it what it is. You know, I feel like we were real fortunate to get this car because it was so good. But, you know, you still have to have the right people making the right decisions and making the right moves to keep it there. So I feel good about what we've been doing with it. But, you know, to answer your question, I can't explain why that is, though. But, you know, I probably had, I don't know, 10, 15 sets of carburetors, and they run good, but they don't ever run quite as good as the ones I've been running for a long, long time. So it's just one of them deals. I can't explain it, but it is the truth, though. It is, you can have all kinds of parts and pieces that look and measure the same, but for some reason, they don't run the same.
The ghost in the machine, so to speak. Now, on
Saturday,
you took down Warren Johnson and beaten WJ in Atlanta is always a big deal. V gained second round. Then in the semis, got to go up against Greg, who's running at his sponsor's race. You were able to leave on him and drive away. And then the final round, Shane Gray has a 001 reaction time. Shane had been on the tree something fierce, 002 in the semis, 008 in the second round. As you were preparing for that final round against Shane, were you considering his reaction times over the course of the day?
Well, I was pretty sure he was going to be on time, and I knew there's nothing I could do about it, because when you get my age, 00s are out of the question. So I was just trying to, you know, we're focusing on trying to make the best possible run we could, because we knew, you know, I knew probably, you know, he was probably going to get out on me a little bit the way he'd been driving. And that's kind of been the norm here this year, is I've been up and down. I need to work on that part like I always need to. But, yeah, we were just trying to focus on trying to make a really, really good run, because we knew Shane was going to be really good. So, and we did that. We made our best run of the day. Fortunately, I was just real fortunate that I had a good life for me, and you know, we come away with a win there. But yeah, it was a good race. Shane was just deadly there on Saturday.
Yeah, really. I mean, I can't imagine walking that tightrope, 008, 002, 001. And, but you drove around him. Now, when someone leaves on you like that, you had a good light, a 27. I think most pro stock racers would take that every day forever if they could make that deal. But you coupled it with the quickest run of eliminations. But when a guy like Shane puts a nose out there on you, do you notice that? Do you sense it? Do you feel it? You drove around him. Is that something you can see from in the car where you're seated, given the limited visibility? And is it at all distracting? Is there a thought that, hey, whoa, he's out on me. I better hit these shifts and drive around him?
No, I mean, I can't see him. I'm focused on trying to stay focused on what I'm doing, keeping it in my lane, but no, I never do see the opponent, unless I'm like super, super late or something, but no, I can't never see them. Trying to focus on doing what I need to do, and then trying to make the very best run, and you know, that's what we did. We made an extremely nice run in the final, and you know, we were just real fortunate to win. Just really thanks to all my guys, just Adam Hornberger and Alan Lindsay and Bob and Tim, and especially my guys back at the shop, Paul and Dan, just doing a phenomenal job. I'm so proud of them for what they've done this year. And, you know, just this Interstate Battery IM second Camaro has just been running really, really good, Joe. We're just going to hopefully can keep it up. And, you know, we're, I think, six races or seven races into this season, and you know, I couldn't have drawn it up any better. So just hope we can keep it going, and you know, we got a long ways to go, but I still like what we've been doing, and hopefully we can keep it up.
It sure beats having problems the first six races. I'm sensing out of you, Mike, that you're sensing that there is an opportunity for another championship here if you guys can navigate this season properly.
Well, I mean, that's the goal. That's the goal for all of us. But yeah, that's what we're wanting to do. Making that happen is a huge mountain to climb, but you know, our weakest link right now is the driver. I mean, he's always been the weakest link. But you know, if I can keep my car running good, and you know, keep making nice runs, that gives me a better chance of doing something. So that's what we're trying to do. That's why we're at our testing. We're trying to get better, trying to get faster. So you know. Sit here and say I like our chances. I think, you know, our first goal is setting up the season is to get in the countdown. And once we get in that, you know, with those last six races, anything can happen. But you want to be running really, really good going into that. So that's what we're shooting for. That's what we're hoping for.
Well, Mike, I want to wish you a big congratulations. Kansas this weekend, I will be there, and I am very much looking forward to it. But another big win from you and your guys, and very entertaining to watch. Tell me about Kansas this weekend.
Yeah, it's I love going there. It's kind of a home track for me and my family. I usually have more people than I can get tickets for, but I like going there. It's close to home. It's only like 3.5 hours, so I'll have a lot of folks there. So I was fortunate to win it there one time several years ago, but we'll see. Hopefully we can go up there and run good, Joe, and perhaps maybe we can pick up another one.
There you go, and we'll book the time for next week already. Sounds good.
Thanks, bud.
Mike, thank you so much. Congratulations. Give my best to your guys, and we'll see you this weekend.
Okay, bye.
Mike Edwards with us here on WFO Radio, and they've got themselves a hot rod right now. That Camaro is running right out of the box, was quick, and has, it appears, 200ths on the field, really, because they can really lay down a pass. You think about the events early in the year that they were a whisker away from winning or just learning to tune the chassis, and now they got it running. The question is, can someone else step up and knock them off? That is the real question. You've got Alan Johnson and Jeg out there. You know, they're very capable. Jason Lyon has proven he can win. The KB guys, they're very capable. We're still waiting to find out what's up with Erica Enders. Some news regarding her, hopefully coming soon. They alluded to it on the broadcast that hopefully she'll have some sponsorship information to, quote unquote, be able to keep going. That was a little troubling hearing that. Erica needs to be out there. She's such a positive influence on the sport and pro stock in general. Hopefully they do have good news coming. Big things happening in pro stock. It's going to be a war right down to the wire. If you're a new listener of the show, I want to welcome you to WFO Radio. We are online, we are on iPhone, we are on Android, and we use the internet as our home for a bunch of reasons, but primarily shareability and the worldwide scope of the show. We like to think we've got drag racing fans from around the world that tune in each week to hear the show whenever they feel like it. The show comes available at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday nights. We start off with Alan Reinhart, then we on non-national event weekend races, we hear from the stars of drag racing and try to cover all the angles. I will be out there in Topeka this weekend, so if you're going to be out there, come on by, say hi. Let's get together a meetup or a tweet up and get together with some drag racing fans out there. I'm looking forward to checking out Topeka. It should be very, very cool to have the whole community rallying around the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, and I'm certainly very excited to get out there. If you're enjoying the show, make sure to tweet it or retweet it. Follow us on Twitter, WFO Radio, or me, WFO Joe. Like us on Facebook, you know, all the social media stuff. But more importantly, if you've got a friend or two, share the show with them. You can even gift the iPhone app to your friends for free. And they have been downloaded like wildfire. All right, when we come back, he's going to bring the heat. A very interesting commentary from Bobby Bennett, who is not afraid to stir the pot, mix it up. He loves the sport of drag racing. And if you haven't ever checked out CompetitionPlus.com, you need to do so because they got all kinds of great features. But Bobby with a commentary about sportsman racing and should the pros and the sportsmen be separated? Very interesting idea. It's not the first time it's been kicked around, but has the time come where the sportsman guys are almost like professionals themselves? So should they be treated as such? Bobby's got his perspective, and we'll hear it when we come back right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals. Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20 or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThundervalleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives like our popular water wetter for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Joining us now, Antron Brown. Now, you told me on Thursday you got the WFO Radio app. I did not know that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You got to have the WFO app, brother, so you can keep up. For people that just are a fan of the sport, all they got to do is throw on WFO if they miss a race, because you get to hear the side-by-side blows from the winners, everybody that was there. You got Al Reinhart on, and you do a great job, you know. I mean, you put out all the different perspectives of NHRA racing. I told you, not only am I just a professional racer in NHRA racing, I'm a fan of the sport and I love it. And if you're a true fan, you got to have a WFO app.
For more with the stars of drag racing, download the WFO Radio app. Available in the App Store or Android Market. Motorsports entertainment, full interviews with weekly winners, videos, push notifications, and more. Download it now.
This is Kenny Bernstein, and you are listening to NHRA Tuesday on WFO Radio with Joe Castello, WFO.
And finally tonight here on WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. It's been a while since we heard from this guy. He's the editor of CompetitionPlus.com, and when he comes on the show, he brings the heat. He's got a very interesting commentary piece out there right now on CompetitionPlus.com regarding Lucas Oil Series racing and Mellow Yellow Series racing and competing at the same events, and it's an idea that has been really kicked around by a lot of people for a lot of years, and Bobby Bennett bringing it to the forefront once again. Bobby Bennett, welcome back to WFO Radio.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thanks for being on the show. And we're going to have you bring the heat tonight because you've got a commentary out there that is very interesting, titled, It's Time for a Divorce. Harsh terms, harsh title.
That's it. And I know no other way to talk about it than to say it's time to go our separate ways. The vision that Wally had for sportsman racing, what NHRA has grown to today, the vision of the sportsman racers at the National Event Series just isn't what Wally envisioned anymore. At least I don't believe it is.
My thought is, well, first of all, let's get everyone up to speed with why this is buzzing. And there have been some things recently, the rainout in Houston, which was a very difficult situation for everybody involved. There were some things out there, but basically, I think it is a time constraint. You've got national event weekends, which obviously cater to the Mellow Yellow Series cars, Top Fuel Funny Car, Pro Stock, and occasionally Pro Stock Motorcycle, and all the Lucas Oil Series categories are kind of gotten in between the big shows, so to speak. And as things become more expensive, traveling, hotel rooms, fuel, taking time away from work, the status of running in between the Mellow Yellow Series is maybe not acceptable to some of the sportsman racers. Would you agree with the way I've laid it out?
Yeah, for the most part, Joe, it really, the sportsman, when we look back at Wally's vision, we look at the classes we ran back then, stock, super stock, modified, comp eliminator, and pro comp. And that was it. Basically, if you were a bracket racer, you had zero chance of running at the national event. So in 1980, the NHRA started experimenting with the pro gas category as a way to bridge the gap between the local racer racing at bracket and bringing them to the national events tour. And all of a sudden, this thing grew from pro gas, which became super gas. Then we had super comp, super street. Now we have Top Baxter. Now we have Top Sportsman. Now we have Top Alcohol Funny Car and Top Alcohol Dragster. And the Sportsman Series just grew so much. But if you look at what Jim Hughes said in an article we had at Competition Plus called, where the racers look at the disconnect between the sportsman racers and the NHRA, all of a sudden, you have guys that come out here at 7 a.m., and if we run at 11 a.m., they may run up to 10:30 and not touch their cars again until 6 o'clock in the afternoon. That's a lot for a drag racer to have to sit idle for that long. And, I think that we have reached a point whether the sportsmen need to look at, well, do we want to be filler or do we want to be a little fish in a big pond? Or the big fish in a small pond and have our own national event. That's where what questions must be asked and answered.
In this particular debate, there are good, strong points to be made on both sides, and I think it is a very difficult situation. I know a lot of people with investments are probably emotional about it, but if you detach yourself from the emotion of it, I think that's the best way to get to the answer. So let's look at some of the possibilities.
We look at like a 15-race national event, sportsman national event series, running maybe two or three national events of these sportsman national events per division. And then maybe you have three events where everybody comes together as one big family, like the Pomona 1 and Pomona 2 and maybe Indy races. But you look at these events where we could have these sportsman guys could race at their prime times, race all day long, and just to give them a break
from having to run all day long, we bring in at certain areas, and I mentioned several options that the NHRA could have, whether it's six of those sports nationals. We have a pro modified series. We could have a mountain motor pro stock series. Or we could, if we go on the West Coast, we could have Nostalgia Nitro Funny Car. Those are classes designed to put people in the seats that wouldn't necessarily take up the prime time allowing these sportsmen to run.
I get what you are saying. My initial thought is, don't you think that will, by separating the sportsman guys away, that will diminish their visibility dramatically to the casual racing fan and the teams that many of them, not all of them, but many of them hope to gain the attention of? If a Sean Langdon was driving at separate national events, would he have gained the eye of a Alan Johnson at some point? I know he was with Morgan for a while. Don't you think, since there's big money bracket races all over the place, you don't hear about those drivers getting elevated, even though they are racing, they're great. It's just they're kind of racing in front of themselves.
Well, how many times did you ever watch Alan Johnson come out and watch Supercomp?
Never, but it's easy
Thank
for him
you.
To
that
walk
is my
around.
Point.
And
well, here's the deal. You know, we're talking about these guys getting this exposure. Look, you know and I know there are times when they're running these sportsman classes through no fault of the sportsman races or, for that matter, the NHRA. You could shoot a cannon in the stands and not hit anybody. I mean, when these classes are running. And what I feel like is if you give these guys their own big stage where they can run and race at decent times, and not having to worry about racing at 10 o'clock at night when there are maybe literally five people in the grandstand. You got to ask yourself, you know, do I want to be a big star in a smaller pond?
Well, because I'm thinking about it while you're throwing it out there, and I'm thinking about the people who are in the stands. I've been to more events this year than ever before, and I consider myself a champion of the sportsman racers. Like, I really get where they're coming from, especially the bracket racers and guys on the low end. But the guy who goes out to run Super Gas at his local event, to be on the big stage, I get what he's talking about. Is there a situation that you can think of where Super Gas or Super Comp is ever going to run in front of a packed grandstand?
At the current state, no. I think if they make the final rounds, yes, we could do that. But even looking at the television coverage, I mean, back in the day when we had Wally, we lived in Wally World, and we were running races on Diamond P Syndicated, you know, tune into your local station to watch this. Even the sportsman racers netted at least a minimum of 1 minute on a 1 hour telecast. They can't even get 30 seconds on a 2 hour telecast on ESPN. So you tell me.
Well, that is a problem, and I think we all remember the Diamond P coverage. They would show the final rounds and then freeze the frame on the stripe and give the results, which was a big deal. You could see guys coming up. And I agree. Is there not 1 minute or two to feature these guys in the big show? And that's to discuss the TV guys. My wondering is, would you not cause irreparable damage to the sportsman racer by doing this? Right now, they are, at very least, can say we're on site with crowds of 20 to 40,000 people, say. They're in the midway. They're walking around. They're seeing the names. They're seeing the cars, how cool they are. At least they're there. If you separate these classes into their own supposed national events, aren't you then charged with the responsibility of getting the fans back to the track all over again? And they may not come. They may never show up. And these sportsman racers might be glorified Saturday night bracket racing in front of themselves. I know they like that. I know a lot of them are not really requiring exposure, but at least they can say they are at a place with a big crowd. if you're at a standalone event, and we see it with a lot of the divisionals, there's not a lot of spectators there.
Well, Joe, the thing is that the sportsman racers at a national event, I mean, let's face it, and the NHRA does the best they can to put in a show, but at the end of the weekend, they get a really raw deal on a lot of stuff. And again, if there's rain, if there's time constraints, I mean, they're pushed to whenever. And the NHRA, they are challenged to make all of this work. And like the Houston debacle, which I have to tell you, the NHRA did not make the wrong decision on that. They had nowhere else to go. And everybody lost in that deal. The NHRA took a hard hit on their reputation, and the sportsman racers who invested their money took a hard hit financially. Sometimes it comes to a point, and as I said, you'd be hard pressed to find a more dysfunctional relationship than the NHRA and their sportsman racers. It just is just not working, and we have got to find a solution. You and I know that they're not going to adjust the pro show for the sport. Ain't going to happen.
Nor should they. Nor should they. Why should they do that? That would be...
If you're a sportsman racer, don't you deserve better?
You definitely deserve something. You need to be treated with respect and given the opportunity to pursue your fun in a way that is beneficial to everybody.
Well, we can't have it both ways. It's coming to a point where we got to make a decision. Either you accept your role, or you get to be the star of the show as you deserve to be for your particular style of racing. And these guys, and when I'm saying sportsmen, I'm saying from comp eliminator through top sportsmen. Those would be the sportsmen national events. You run the alcohol classes with the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series.
I get what you're saying. I think it's an interesting concept, and I think we're going to have to put some thought into it. I get why this has come up. The story is on competitionplus.com. It's called It's Time for a Divorce, and he is Bobby Bennett, the editor. Bobby, great job as usual. Very interesting perspective.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Bobby. Bobby Bennett, editor of Competition Plus, with us here on WFO Radio. And interesting angle. And my thought is immediately, and I have to say, as someone who has been a local racer, I've never been out on the tour. But the reason I've never been out on the tour is because I could never afford to be out on the tour. I always felt like I had the skill to be successful when I was there. Maybe that's true or not, but I never got to find out because it's a massive financial undertaking. And when you think about it, every one of these cars, trucks, trailers in the Sportsman Lucas Oil pit area is representing thousands and thousands of dollars worth of personal financial investment and the investment in time and the investment away from whatever their business is that they make the money to go racing with. So it's like a triple whammy. You spend money to be there. You're not making money while you're there, all for the love of drag racing. So I get it. Believe me, I get it and why it's so important. But on the flip side of things, I think to myself, where's the spotlight? Where's the big show? Where's the attention? And couldn't every class make exactly the same argument? Couldn't every class, like Pro Stock Motorcycle, they have that challenge. They're putting in the money, the effort, the resources. They definitely deserve their own spotlight. But that's not the case. It's a sad thing when the people are walking down the grandstands when Pro Stock is coming up. Pro Stock? Are you kidding me? Back in the 1980s, you had Frank Iaconio and Bob Glidden and Lee Shepard and all these guys out there battling Mark Powick and Don Campanello, battling in Pro Stock. It was great. The Pro Stock Wars. And now you see WJ, got to throw WJ in there, Warren, my goodness, the Dodge Boys right up through the 90s. And now people, the Nitro cars, they want to go back and see them worked on. And so they got to go take a bathroom break. So they go down and they don't watch Pro Stock sometimes. I think that's insanity. But that argument could be made almost for every class, that every class deserves its own spotlight. Competition Eliminator. You could make a reality TV show about Comp Eliminator. How about the aspect of the Nitro classes? You can talk to some reporters out there, mainstream media types, and ask them, as I have, and it's been written about many, many times, that why don't mainstream newspapers carry NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series results? And a lot of times, and I'm not a print writer, so I don't know exactly if this is true, but it's about space. Their editor says, look, you get X inch by inch, column inches is how they do it. And suddenly you've got Top Fuel, Funny Car, Pro Stock, Pro Stock Motorcycle. You've got four different results, whereas NASCAR has one. And NASCAR always was in the papers, and drag racing is not always in the papers. Why? Because, well, what's the top class? Top Fuel? Not really. Is it Nitro Funny Car? Not really. And so there are co-top classes. And if you've been following drag racing for a long time, you know that the debate has come up many times. Like, should they get rid of one of the Nitro classes and just have all Top Fuel dragsters out there and have 32 of them showing up? And everybody that's in a funny car just get in a Top Fuel dragster. And those who don't want to do it, retire. And tough, those are the breaks. Or vice versa. Top Fuel, go away and make it all funny cars. And then the manufacturers could be involved. These are debates that are out there and have been out there for a long, long time. But the drag racing purist doesn't want that. Because what's a drag race without Nitro Funny Cars or Top Fuel dragsters? They have emerged over the years as co-equal dominant classes. These are the long dragster cars, rear engine. These are the front engine funny cars. How do you get rid of one for the good of the sport? You don't. Now, if you did it tomorrow, 15 years from now, nobody would really remember, and maybe the sport would flourish. Maybe you just have a 32-car field of funny cars, and that's it. That's your show. No Pro Stock, no Pro Stock Motorcycle, no Competition Eliminator, no Super Gas, no Super Stock, no Stock, no nothing. And they're all at their separate event, doing their own thing. Everybody gets their own deal. I think that would ultimately diminish everybody. So what is the solution? And that is the question. Bobby Bennett throwing an idea out on the table for discussion, and I give him credit for bringing the heat here on WFO Radio. Well, folks, that's going to do it here on the show. Remember, I'll be out there in Topeka this weekend, so if you're going to be in the Kansas area, you're in Topeka, come on out, say hi, shout WFO, watch a little Nitro Drag Racing, Pro Stock. We're going to have a great time. You should come out and hang out. Can't wait to tell all those drag racing fans about WFO Radio. Remember, download that iPhone and Android app. It's free. I know that everybody who listens to the show doesn't have the app. It's just not, I know you don't all have the app. But this week when we were sending out that push notification, hey, you can call in your question to Antron Brown, you would have liked to get that word. Well, we did it through the push notifications. You can also follow us on social media. And a nice review would be very well appreciated. We would like that a whole lot. That would be like the best ever. Big thanks to everybody out there who has done a great job spreading the word of the show. The super fans out there, the founding members, we certainly appreciate it. Big, giant thanks to Mike Edwards and Johnny Gray for coming on the show. Bobby Bennett for coming on the show. Alan Reinhart for coming on the show. And Antron Brown. How about AB answering questions from WFO Radio listeners? And he's out there building stuff. I agree. The whole deal with the shovel. I get the feeling of satisfaction when I do something, whether it is with a shovel or a pick. But I agree. Nothing like working on a car, working on a machine, making something go fast. That's fun. Then again, you go talk to a guy who's been an OEM mechanic for 50 years, and his knuckles are all busted, and he's got grease penetrating his skin, he might not feel that way. So it's all about your perspective. But a big thanks to Antron Brown for coming on the show, and he is doing such a great job as the Mellow Yellow champion. That's going to do it, folks. Thank you so much for listening to the program. Remember, Ignition, our other WFO radio show, where we recap NASCAR and this week Formula One. Oh, boy. The Ferrari fans are going to attack the Red Bull fans. So that's going to be fun. Check that out. Of course, our picks against the Vegas odds. We've got it all on Ignition. So check that show out as well. Kind of different than this program. A lot less interview-based. A little more goofing around. Big thanks to the crew behind the scenes, Giovanni in Miami, Patrick the webmaster, Carlos Hockenstuff, Matt Mann, everybody that helped out with the show on our Facebook page and otherwise. Big thanks to everyone for participating. And folks out there, thank you so much for listening. That's going to do it for this episode of WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.
Come on.
I'm not much into the voodoo magic.
Oh, yeah.
It is what it is.